the best 60 minutes of your day, the Tuesday Homer Hour. Tim Van Born, he's on assignment. Jason Wilde is kind of on assignment. We think he's going to be on the show at some point. Doesn't matter. Because only one thing matters. What's the most important thing in sports in the state of Wisconsin? The Miz. It's the most important fact. Is the Miz pitching tonight? No. First thing you need, not who are the Brewers playing, not are they playing home or away. Every day, you got only one question. Number one question in the state. Is Miz pitching today? No. The Brewers are home against the St. Louis Cardinals. And again, you listen to the show. And when you listen to the show, you find out if the dome is open or closed. But that's not the most important thing. Is the Miz pitching tonight? No. Who do the Brewers play? Secondary. Do they play at home and away? Secondary. Everything's secondary. That's how big the Miz is. Joining us now is Billy Castro, and his former pitching coach with the Brewers. I'm trying to think of the most famous thing of Billy Castro.
Not much.
That's not true. Your career ERA was 3.33.
Yeah.
7.55 Jerry Augustine would sure wish his was. I got to check. And the reason I'm talking to Billy Castro, former pitching coach of the Brewers, he pitched for the Brewers. Everybody now is at high school baseball games, which is fine. But the Miz is the most important thing. I want to talk to as many people as I can about the Miz. Billy Castro, an outstanding pitcher. He was the pitching coach for the Brewers at various times. And I believe you were the pitching coach for like one day for the Baltimore Orioles. Is that right?
About a month ago.
Yeah. All right. Say whatever you want about the Miz. Take it away, Billy Castro.
Well, I think the Brewers found a physical with this guy. This guy is a young guy. A lot of upside. A lot of hopefully stay healthy. And I think he will because he has a great mechanics. He has a good balance, good follow through. I mean, he almost throws the ball halfway through the plate the way he throws the ball.
So you think that the fact that he's that long legged is really a big edge?
Yeah, I think so. I think he has what you're looking for pitching with a good follow through, good balance. The other thing that I saw at the beginning of the last year,
Hey, like Billy, even with an ERA of 3.3, we can't do this because the noise is too loud in the background. I'm going to call you back. We're going to do this again.
Wait a minute.
The car was running, that's why. Whoa! Holy smokes, your ERA just went down to 2.5. All right, talking to Billy Castro, not only a major league pitcher, look him up, and he also was the pitching coach for the Brewers, and he played for the Yankees in 1981, the year the Yankees beat the Brewers in the strike season, right?
Right.
Yeah. No one holds that against you. I don't. All right. Now, who was the fastest pitcher you ever saw as a pitcher or a pitching coach? Who threw the ball fastest?
In my time, I can say Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richard.
J.R. Rodney
Those two
Richard.
I remember. And I played with a guy here in Milwaukee, Pete Robert, this guy threw hard. We didn't know where it was going. It was all over the place. But those two guys.
He pitched in the American League, didn't he? Pete Robert?
Yeah. So in Milwaukee.
So you're like kidding. Like, he really didn't know where it was going? Like, you claim.
Really? I mean, he just threw hard. I mean, he just didn't care where to go.
Yeah. Now, when you're watching Nolan Ryan pitch, could you actually tell that he was faster than anybody else? Is that a thing you can see visually, or is it what the hitter said?
Oh, yeah, both. I mean, the hitter could tell you that, too. But you could see it. It was like a lightning, the way he threw the fastball. And he was the guy that nobody wanted to face him in the league at that time. Now, everybody in the major league right now is 95-plus
right
now. Yeah.
But the Miz is 103 plus. So, I mean, he's doing it like no one's ever done as a starting pitcher. I mean,
and the thing about it too is that the command he has for a guy that throws that hard, because as I said earlier, he got good balance and good follow through. If you're watching, he never falls off at the first base. It's pretty much straight on right there. And the ball, I mean, his command, when he throws his fastball, he's not too far off the glove when he misses. And he can move the fastball up and down, in and out. And that slider, now that he's throwing like a cutter, it's almost like 90
okay.
miles an hour.
All right. Now, I've had this discussion with Jerry Augustine. That's, I hate the way people talk and analyze pitching. All right? You got a fastball. I don't care how many seams you use. You got a curveball. You got a screwball if you can make it go the other way. And you got a curveball and you got a changeup. That's it. Yeah. Nothing's changed. Now they talk about this cutter. Okay, is the cutter a screwball, a slider, or what?
A cutter is almost like a slider.
Okay, but like it's a faster slider, it seems like.
Right, right. And a good cutter is the one that cuts into the left-handed hands when you throw it in there, try to jam the left-handed hitters. And then it goes like a little flat. The slider, like a cutter, when you throw a cutter and it's down the dirt, it becomes almost a slider. It breaks like a slider.
Right.
That way.
I mean, a slider is, okay, talking to Billy Castro, and I'm trying to change baseball because I think the way the announcers say it is stupid. I don't care if you use two seams, four seams. I don't care if you throw it out of your nose. All I care is what is the pitch. Now, a slider, like Dave Steeb, was so good because his slider looked like the fastball, but then it would break down and away at the end, correct?
Right.
So he's unhittable because you think it's a fastball, same speed or close to the same speed, big down and away, and you never hit it square. Is my analysis correct?
That's the idea, yeah.
Okay,
right.
Now what's the difference then between a cutter and a slider? It's a kind of slider, it seems to me, based on the movement.
Well, the cutter has a little sideways rotation, which will go, like I said, inside the left-handed hitters. It goes kind of cross flat.
For a right-handed pitcher.
For a right-handed pitcher.
So it goes in, whereas a slider would go down, correct?
We'll go down and in left-handed hitters, yeah.
Right, but the speed is close to a fastball, a little less.
Little less.
And the key is you're a hitter, you're confused, you think it's a fastball, and then at the last minute it either moves in or it moves down and you have no chance, right?
Right. And then when you throw it to, let's say if you're pitching, you're a right-handed pitcher and you're facing a right-handed hitter.
Correct.
And you throw a cutter away, it'll look like a fastball, it will break at the end.
Yes.
That's what you want.
But a slider would do the same, correct?
Yeah, but the slider will go down away.
Correct, but it breaks at the end the same way. Now, the one I want people to watch, because Ashby is great at this, and that is throwing the screwball. So he's a lefty throwing to a right-hander who's expecting the ball to come in, and instead Ashby's ball goes, you watch it and you go, how do you do that? He makes it go away from the right-handed hitter, like the great Warren Spondon, and there's a few guys that throw that. I don't know what the hell they call it now, because that's a screwball.
That's a changeup. That's a changeup from a left-hander.
Well,
it goes down the way against right-handed hitters.
That's a changeup too?
Yeah, a changeup, yeah. From the left-handed pitcher, that goes down away from right-handed hitters, that's a changeup.
But if he throws it a lot faster, the pitch I'm talking about is not that much slower like a changeup. It's about the same speed as his fastball.
Yeah, but he throws it pretty hard.
Yes, but you say that's still a changeup. All right, I'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
All right, but back to the Miz.
The way he'll grip the ball, grip it like a changeup.
Billy, I want to help you on this. I don't give a damn how you grip the ball. Doesn't matter. I'm just watching the ball and seeing which way it goes, when and how. How you grip it, I don't care how you have your hat either. And I don't care how you wear your shoes.
Well, I care because I was a pitcher.
I know.
And you care. I was a coach, and I know how that goes.
They throwing pitches that they didn't throw when you played? And if so, what are they? The cutter?
No, they threw cutters then.
Okay.
More split fingers more than.
Yes, than I don't playing. See that as much. Do many people use that as much?
Not really. Some do, but they throw so hard now that.
Right, but that's an amazing pitch.
Like those, a lot of the pitchers today, they effectively wild because they'll throw the fastball, which is 95, 98, 100 miles an hour, and it goes out of the strike zone, and people will chase it.
Because you have to start your swing so early in order to hit it. Yep. Good. Yeah. Effectively wild. I'm going to use that. Billy Castro says pitchers today are effectively wild.
Yeah. Some of them, not all of them, some of them.
Yes, because otherwise.
I don't think if Jerry and I would have made it to the baseball because we didn't throw as hard as those guys do, especially me.
Right.
I had maybe an average fastball, maybe. That was it.
Well, so how'd you get people out? Because you did.
Command the ball, keeping it down, throw my sinker, change your sliders, and go in and out and throw strikes.
So how did you confuse them? What did they think, and they were wrong, and that's why they couldn't hit it? Because you're not throwing it too fast. You couldn't throw it too fast for them to hit, correct?
No. I mean, it's like in my case, I remember one time I was pitching against the White Sox here in Milwaukee, and I tried count like maybe like five guys and two innings, something like that. So La Russa had the umpire check me, see I'm throwing spitball. Because my sinker was sinking that a lot that day, and it was late. It looked like a spitball.
It's years later, talking to Billy Castro. You can admit if you were throwing the spitball. Go ahead. You can do it.
No, I didn't.
Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yeah.
If I was a pitcher, I would have thrown it if I could get away with it. Why not?
Yeah, well, when George Vanberger came to us as a manager.
Yes.
He tried to teach me that. And try to teach Jerry Agustin also.
Teach you
spitball. Spitball.
They did it. They must have done it with Baltimore, where he was the pitching coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I said, no, my shoulders start bothering me. They might think it's good enough that I don't need that.
Wow. So, now that's a historic. George Bamberger tried to teach you the spitball. So where did you get? Did you get the off your face or the sweat or?
The sweat and get a little bit of KY jelly, put it somewhere in your body.
Then the ball moves, right?
Yeah. But I didn't throw any in the game.
I know you did because they know who did. And Jerry didn't either. I don't know if anybody did.
No.
I could see Vukovic doing it. I believe Vukovic probably did it.
I don't know.
All right. I know you're not going to say it. That's all right.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Let's get back to the Miz. Talking to Billy Castro because I think it's a state law that anybody does a sports talk show has to start with talk about the Miz. All right, good can he be, or is it too early to know?
I think he's going to be real good. Real good.
Because good as Teddy Higuera?
Yeah.
Can he be in the Hall? Is he good enough to be a Hall of Fame pitcher, or is that going too far?
If you stay healthy, yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because what I see, I see nothing but upside, what I see.
All right, so... If he stays healthy. But no, talking to Billy Castro, look him up. He was the pitching coach, career ERA of 3.3. Played for the Yankees, but we won't hold that against him. All right. Every pitcher gets hurt now. Every pitcher. When people ask me about Miz, I say it's not if, but when. Am I accurate or not?
I don't know. I don't know what type of training he does. I don't know.
But isn't it true? Almost all the pitchers now have been injured. They tell me sometimes you want a pitcher who's been injured, has had Tommy John, because then he might not have it again. Is that accurate?
Well, that's what they're talking about. I don't know.
All right.
That's tough to say there because, I mean, they train different than we did. I can say that. I mean, there's a lot of weightlifting and a lot of different throwing, different programs.
You didn't lift weights?
No, I didn't. No.
Not at all?
I didn't. I was afraid that if I did, I would lose the flexibility for my sinker. That's what I thought.
Whoa. And then but you lose I, that, I, you're done because.
Right, yeah. Right. So I pitch all year round because I pitch in the summer here in the big leagues, and I pitch in winter ball in Dominican.
Right. People should know you're from the Dominican Republic. And I think you were in the first baseball classic. Weren't you a coach for the Dominicans?
Yeah, I did three classics. I was a pitching coach when we won the whole thing.
I wasn't trained properly. Growing up, the Dominicans had all the shortstops. We didn't think they had anybody else who could play. Clearly, we didn't know what we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Those guys, baseball everywhere in Dominican.
Clearly. All right, now let's get to the Miz. All right. If what do you watch? What's the most important thing you watch from game to game when you see him?
I see him. He really calmed down now. That before he got in trouble with the wildness, being wild a little bit, because his mind was going too fast, I think. Now he settled down a little bit, a bit more calm and relaxed, and he can see now that he can control the game now. Before, the game was controlling him a little bit.
Explain the mind going too fast. I have no idea what that means.
That everything, like the game was going too fast for him, he tried to keep up with it. Yeah. So
okay, I just want to tell you, if I was the Miz, you know what I'd do? Dude, I'm throwing fastball, you can't hit it. And I'm throwing another fastball, and you can't hit it.
If you watch him now, when he's on the stretch,
yeah,
right, and you watch the clock, not the clock now, you got to throw so many seconds. He almost always throw the pitch maybe around 3 or 4 seconds.
Because he wants to take as much time?
Right. He settled down. You can
see.
He settled down. He controlling his emotion. That's what he's doing now. He controls his emotion better than he did before.
So I don't want to control my emotions. Billy, talking to Billy Castro, I can throw it so fast they can't hit it. Where is my theory wrong? Because you and Augie all talk about Homer. That's just, don't talk about that. There's so much more that he has to do that he's doing better. You just focus on the speed. Yeah, because no pitcher's ever done it, starting pitcher ever. But you guys, that's not enough, right? I guess.
Well, like I'm telling you before, he's controlling the game now. The game's not controlling him. Yeah.
All right, so now.
That's what I see.
Now, I'm the hitting coach for the team facing the Miz.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't, what do you do?
Well, you got to be quick. So you know I can say. You got to be quick, throwing quick to the ball. Because he's going to pitch to his strength. His strength is speed.
Right.
And he can command the fastball in and out. And he can throw a slider and the breaking ball down. I don't know if he's working a changeup right now or not, but I mean, right now everything is that cutter really helping him right now too.
Right, because they think it's a fastball or close to it, right? And it moves, right. And they can't get a square hit, right?
Yeah. As he get older, he's probably going to start, fooling around with the ball, maybe try changing speed in his slider too, to get people out front.
All right. All right. Questions for Billy Castro, the former Brewer pitcher and pitching coach, about the Miz. You ready? You ready for my questions? Yes or no?
I am.
Will the Miz pitch 9 innings in a game this season?
It all depends how many pitches he throws.
Good point. Yeah. Will they let him go? 100, 105, something?
I don't know. I think the Brewers have done a great job with him.
Okay.
Bring him along he is right now.
Yeah, I want people to complain that they're not pitching him enough because I want the Brewers to not pitch him much so that he's ready for the playoffs. Because do you agree with me? You don't want him to pitch as many innings as he could because you want him to be ready and be able to pitch in the playoffs.
You got to look at the pitch count more than anything else.
Each time he pitches.
Right, yeah, the pitch count.
I'm not going to let him go past 80 at any point this season. What do you think of that, talking to Billy Castro? Because I want him ready for the playoffs.
He'll probably go up to 85, 90, probably like that.
Yeah, they did yesterday let him go. Yeah. All right, I believe the Brewers can win the World Series this year because of their outstanding young pitching, not just the Miz, and we will see that by the additions they will add to the team for players to help them later on this year. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
Really?
I agree with that, yeah.
You think they could win the World Series this year?
They can go up there, yeah.
All right, they'll be the underdog, but...
Yeah. If they better stay healthy, they got a chance to do that.
Now, the Miz is good, but some of their other guys, I mean, I think Harrison's really good, too. What?
Agree? They're all pretty good pitchers. They're all doing a pretty good job. I mean, at the beginning, it was a little shaky time there, but that's baseball. That happens.
I'm more worried about their bullpen than I am the starters. Are you?
Well, everybody always worried about the bullpen because you got to have two or three guys in the bullpen that are reliable and have your closer. Have those guys together again to the closer, and they have that right now this time.
All right, finishing up with Billy Castro. Now, the best part. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
If you were the Miz and you could throw as hard as he can, how would you pitch?
I'll be doing the same thing he's doing.
You're gonna throw fast first pitch a fastball all the time? What?
No, all the time. I mix it up once in a while. He got to pitch to his strength. His strength is fastball.
Right.
So he got to stay with that. Yeah.
So does he even worry about location, or do you not need to, given how fast he throws it?
No, I see that the catcher move around a little bit sometimes, and he does pretty close to the glove when he misses.
All right.
He's up and out of the strike zone when he wants to. At this point, right now, the way he's throwing right now.
What has he changed the most to cut down on his walks?
The intensity has calmed down. That's why.
Wow. How soon can you tell on a given outing? Do I need to call Billy Castro after the Miz has pitched the three batters and go, all right, Billy, is he calm or not? Can you tell that soon, or does it take a couple innings?
Sometimes it takes a couple innings, yeah. But I think right now he's pretty consistent right now the way he's doing it, the way I see it, compared to the past, the last year.
The most strikeouts he will have in a game this season. I'm going with 15.
15?
Yeah,
that's a good number.
Oh,
that's
you like
a good
that?
Number, yeah.
Will
yeah.
he throw a no-hitter this season?
Again, so it depends how many pitches he has.
That's true. He might come out. Yeah. I want to see, talking to Billy Castro, former pitching coach, I believe there will be a game in which he has not given up a hit and they will take him out, and I will support it. What do you think of that?
Well, it's all depending on the count.
Yeah.
Pitch count.
He's going to have too many pitches.
Yeah, yeah. You want him for the long haul. You don't want him for one game.
Should he be a little wild to scare the hitter?
He don't need to. He already scared those guys anyway. He throws so hard.
He doesn't. I mean, I just going to throw it high and inside a little bit just to. Didn't Nolan Ryan do that?
Well, he did, but a lot of time wasn't. Well, sometimes he did.
Right.
Because somebody might have bunted on him or stole a base. He would do something like that to knock him down. But this guy, I mean, I think, look at him now. And look at Nolan Ryan when he first came to the big leagues. He's better than Nolan Ryan was at that time, right now.
Wow. At his age.
Well, he's commander his age, yeah. Yeah.
Man,
yep.
you like Miz even more than Jerry Augustine.
Well, you got to give him credit. I mean, you got to give him credit. That's he's doing it.
All right, 15.
I just hope to stay healthy. That's what I hope for.
And
if you get every 5 days, you'll be fine.
Isn't that just a flip of the coin? Can you really actually do things that help you in terms of not getting hurt?
Well, anything can happen in the game. Anything can happen.
All right. Do you know when he's pitching next?
He's, for a guy that's so tall and so flexible.
Yeah.
And the mechanics he has and the follow-through he has, I mean, he doesn't put that much stress on his arm like that way.
All right.
He might put a stress because he throws so hard. But he doesn't go away from his arm that much. He did before because I was saying before he was too rushing too much.
Talking with Billy Castro, I believe every time he pitches at home, it should be a sellout. There's no way to exaggerate how special this is.
It is. It is, yeah. And the Brewers are doing a good job in the organization. They get some guys with good arms, and they're doing a good job bringing those guys up and staying here.
All right.
I mean, when you have talent, it's easy to get to the big leagues. But to keep you here, your mind will keep you in the big leagues. And I think you got to go ahead and shoulder.
All right.
Yep.
I don't know when he pitches next. What do they give him? 5 days off? You pitch Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Every 5 days, yeah.
Saturday. And that He's pitching Sunday. We already know that. Yes. The most important thing about the Brewer game tonight, do you know what that is, Billy?
No, I don't know.
He's not pitching.
Oh.
Most important thing about every Brewer game is the Miz pitching. No. We give you the update. He's pitching on Sunday. They're giving him rest, and they'll probably keep it that way all season so he doesn't have too many innings, right?
Well, it's a regular rotation. It'll be 5 days.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why not make it six? So he's even less innings.
Well, it all depends. If you evaluate a player, if you think he may be a little tired, you might do that.
Oh, but 5 days is...
5 days, that's the right pitch. It'll be 5 days.
How good would you have been if you could throw as hard as he could? Would you be in the Hall of Fame? I didn't hear what you said. If you could throw as hard as the Miz can, would you have been in the Hall of Fame? Uh-oh, we must have lost him. All right, Billy, thanks for the call. Either that or didn't want to answer. I don't think so. Jason Wilde on assignment. You can't talk enough about the Miz. They haven't made it a state law, but it should be next.
Coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app on 94.5 ESPN.
And before we get to Jason Wilde, who is on the Yuengling Jason Wilde hotline, we have unfortunate breaking news about Josh Jacobs. What do we have here?
Josh Jacobs has turned himself in to the Hobart Lawrence Police Department on 5 charges related to domestic abuse, battery domestic abuse, criminal damage to property domestic abuse, disorderly conduct domestic abuse, strangulation and suffocation, and intimidation of a victim. As I mentioned, Jacobs has turned himself into the Hobart Lawrence Police Department in the Green Bay area. But this coming out just minutes ago.
And I think it occurred on May the 23rd at like 8:37. They say the police department was dispatched to a disturbance complaint involving Josh Jacobs. Joining us now is Jason Wilde. Anything to add, Jason?
Yeah, the Packers have released a statement per a spokesperson. We are aware of the matter involving Josh Jacobs. As it is an ongoing legal situation, we will withhold further comment. My reaction is that I am surprised. There have been certainly players that have come through Green Bay during my time that well, I don't want to say I wouldn't have been surprised by this type of behavior. We had this with Amon Green. There's been some other players that have been involved in domestic violence allegations.
Do you remember as many charges as this one, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to say.
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know. My legal training is
right.
Limited.
I mean, I look at strangulation and suffocation.
Yeah, the allegation there would be he was obviously choking the victim. Look, I think I've always tried to warn people, whether they're, you know, my kids or fans or others, that it is always a risky proposition.
Yep.
When it comes to players. I always advise them to admire the art, but be wary of the artist. Again, it is an ongoing investigation. There's, you know, innocent until proven guilty, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
But I don't. It's exceedingly troubling, and you know, I think I would just say this: all of us lose our tempers from time to time. I don't do it very often, but you would certainly hope that grown men, no matter what incurs their ire, and no matter how much I might like the player individually in my interactions with him, if these allegations are true, there is zero explanation or excuse for it. And so I am not only surprised by this, but disappointed. And I'm reluctant to extrapolate this out and say, oh, this is a bad omen for the season. But there have been years where there's off-field stuff, there's question marks about certain aspects of the team, and it just, for whatever reason, there have been years, like 99 was one of those years. Antonio Freeman got into trouble in the parking lot of a supper club. I'm always leery of when stuff like this happens, not only because they're despicable allegations, but also because I think there tends to be a snowball effect. I'm not saying that'll happen here, but this is not what you want to see on May 26th, the first day of OTAs, and tomorrow, the first day of media access at practice. I presume that he will be there, and won't speak to reporters about it, but like, I just, again, really, really surprising and further evidence that we always have to be wary about players, because he is not someone I would have anticipated seeing this kind of allegation and this many allegations about.
And it's very serious to the situation or what he's, I guess,
accused of,
yes. Charged with, but accused with is great. And from a football standpoint, which doesn't mean that the other stuff isn't way more important than it is, you just watch and see what the Packers do. Now, they're not going to say anything, but watch how they address the running back situation now, right? I mean, it's not, that part of it isn't that complicated.
Yeah, I would be very cautious about saying this because we have seen throughout the league a number of examples of players who have been accused of these types of actions. And while they may have, run afoul with the player conduct policy or those types of things, they still ended up playing.
Yeah, it wasn't as serious as people originally thought. Yeah, they're.
Yeah, I mean, look, what I'm saying is that I think it's still very serious, but I would also say that there was a time when I was covering this team when this would have led to someone getting released almost immediately, and I don't think that'll be the case here.
Yeah. It's hard to know, and you have to deal with it more than I. It's hard to know what to say. It's hard to know what to ask. And I'm not an expert to somebody who deals with this kind of situation. Forget that it's an NFL player. And how often do you have a situation where all these things are a part of it? I don't know.
Yeah, again, I don't know enough about the legal system to be able to understand exactly what, I don't know if you, I have plenty of lawyer friends. I mean, I could certainly ask my old friend David Gruber, but I would say this. I'm always intrigued by when they issue a press release, right? And the fact that those charges are outlined so specifically. I don't know what to take that as. Do I take that as they've got the goods on them, for lack of a better term? Is that, them wanting to, obviously deliver a certain level of authority with their announcements? I don't know. I don't know enough about the Hobart police, but that's obviously, those are major allegations, and that's a big concern, no doubt.
Yeah. And this is just, and as you said, or McCarthy was the one who said it, reporters don't know what to ask, but it's there. It's now a part of everything.
Yeah, and look, we'll talk to LaFleur tomorrow before practice. I'm sure he'll have a prepared statement, and then he will do what he always does and say, well, you know, I've said everything that I'm going to say about this, and then that'll be the end
of it. An ongoing investigation. I can't say anything. And
right, but not discussing it, which I understand why they wouldn't, but not discussing it does not change in any way the seriousness of those allegations and how problematic it is.
And it's not too hard. You're on their side. You want it to get resolved as quickly as possible. That's what you want. Player wants.
Well, I mean, I would say if he did all these things, I'm not sure I want him on my football team, no matter how well he runs the football.
Right.
So, again, I'm not bound by the PR department to be, you know, I'm not going to speak to this, but I would just say, you know, those are some pretty serious allegations.
This is bad.
That's very well said. This is undeniably bad.
Now, how bad, we'll find out. And I mean, there are situations where these things have occurred and someone has blown totally out of proportion what occurred. But this is, I think you've said it, and without being expert, appropriate in terms of the degree to which, without knowing the Hobart Lawrence Police Department, they have presented a very strong situation. And
A very serious one, yes.
Yes, no, serious is a better word than strong. All right, and this is part of dealing with it. Like, so is there anything else? Like to have something else to talk about, but...
No, I don't. I think when something like this happens, there isn't. Like, you know, from a purely football perspective, though, I would argue that not a great year to not have a very clear picture of backup options, right? They've got Chris Brooks. They've got frequently injured Marshawn Lloyd. They did not re-sign Emmanuel Wilson. So less than ideal circumstances from the purely football perspective.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
I got to go.
I know.
All right.
Jason Wilde, All Packers All the Time. Again, on the Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. It just happened a couple minutes ago, right? This is just the breaking news in terms of the report from the police department. It occurred on the 23rd. This is the 26th. And about like maybe 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, it came out. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Sadly, it will be the story of the Green Bay Packers. First released just a few minutes ago after a complaint on May 23rd and a subsequent investigation. Packers running back Josh Jacobs arrested this morning and booked into Brown County Jail on 5 charges: battery, domestic abuse, criminal damage to property, domestic abuse, disorderly conduct, domestic abuse, strangulation and suffocation, and intimidation of a victim. No really more to add other than that it will be the topic of, or a topic of conversation regarding the Green Bay Packers for some time. There's no editorial comment intended at all other than that it's there. It again occurred on the 23rd. Well, you will probably, I'm sure, get information from lawyers and the legal analysis, given that the complaint occurred on the 23rd and the investigation took a couple days, and he was now arrested this morning and booked into Brown County Jail on 5 charges. Don't know what time of the day that occurred, and don't even know how important that is. My first thought is, he's still in jail? I guess I assumed not, but. The other note, the Miz is not pitching tonight. Oh, yeah, and the Brewers are playing. But if you want to know when the Miz is pitching next, A, you said it will be, he gets 5 days.
It'll be Sunday against the Astros at the off day. I think it's Thursday is the off day. And by the way, Homer, you've made it this far into the program without teasing YouTube. Is the Dome open or closed tonight?
I didn't have to. I said earlier, and I took my hat off, so I thought, yes, people can always check and believe the Dome is open for the first evening game this season.
That is correct.
And, of course, anybody who is now using this for YouTube for that purpose, for only evening Brewer games, all you have to do is they could have guessed that the Dome was open because generally when it's closed and I wear my hairpiece to tell everyone the Dome is closed, there are at least a few people who don't feel that my Dome is appropriate for the graying of my hair. So
I must say, you look great when you do wear the hairpiece, which you have already spoiled you are not doing tonight. Do you ever wear that outside of this bit, or is that the only time
not only
the hairpiece gets
run? Never have and never did ever.
So you've always just been bold, bald, beautiful.
I never looked at it that way. I would much prefer hair. But yes, at the time that I was wearing it, I wore it when the 5 o'clock sports on Channel 12.
Right.
I wore it for probably 10 minutes a day, and as walking off the set would take the hairpiece off, which seemed to amuse the anchors. And they never said anything until I did it on the air, to which Marty Burns Wolf said, I never really understood why he wore the thing. They told me to get one when I went into TV. I didn't have any experience. You need a hairpiece. Let's go. Where do I go? King's Head. John Milan went there. The rest is history. Dome is open, and the story of Josh Jacobs will continue and grow. Arrested, 5 charges, battery, domestic abuse, criminal damage to property, domestic abuse, disorderly conduct, domestic abuse, strangulation and suffocation, and intimidation of a victim. The Packers have issued a release, and as is always the case in these situations, there'll be no comment because it is a legal issue and it's an ongoing legal issue, I guess is how it's said. This will be no different. Golf next? Yeah. Make sure you do it right.